This is the Orange Podcast, conversations with Orange City Council for the local community.
This is Alan Reader, and in the midst of a very wet weekend, it's time to escape into the world of sound delivered by the Orange Podcast. Another glad bag of stories coming to you from the repository that's Orange City Council. Coming up later in the show, it could be some time before the final approvals are granted to build a new sports precinct and parklands alongside Sir Jack Brabham Park. But that hasn't stopped the local little athletics crew starting to get excited. They're also planning for what could be built there. We'll find out about how an underground installation in the track could deliver lap times automatically. But first up in the Orange Podcast today, if you go down to the woods today, you're in for a big surprise. Yep, that's a line from the Teddy Bear's Picnic that we could well give a twist to. If you happen to take a stroll around the inner city laneways of Orange in the next few days, you might just be surprised by the sight of windows and doors that weren't there before. As you do the double take, you won't be alone. It's the work of an artist, Catherine O'Donnell. She's one of a handful of artists who are adding murals to local lanes, all part of the Future City CBD upgrade. I caught up with Catherine O'Donnell in Colvin Lane behind the post office as one of those images came together on a local brick wall.
The works that are appearing on the walls around Orange are domestic doors, windows and entryways that are part of my practice. I draw them and I've reinserted these drawings on aluminium foils back into the Orange CBD for people to discover.
Like lots of art, they're designed to be provocative and surprise.
I hope so. I've got varying sizes so people can have a look around. You might find one that's about as big as your up to your knee, or one that's a full scale size doorway or window. It's just about, I suppose, the ubiquitous nature of doors and windows in the suburban landscape. Windows and doors that you walk past every day and you don't bat an eyelid, they just become wallpaper in your mind, and just bringing them to everyone's attention again, I suppose.
What happens normally when someone comes by and hasn't noticed it before?
Oh, well, I hope they get a pleasant surprise. Often I get told that my work looks like a photograph, so it's likely they will think that they're looking at a photograph, but in fact they're looking at a reproduction of my charcoal drawings.
Tell me about that process.
Long and laboured process, a labour of love. I've spent many years working with charcoal, compressed charcoal in particular, doing images of the urban landscape and suburban landscape. Some of the works take me quite a lot to do, like it take me months to do, and other works not so much, but they all have a special, I suppose, narrative around them. To myself, often I draw my own windows and doors, or people that I know, places I just discover and I walk past. So, yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
We're here in Colvin Lane, the road between Lord's Place to get up behind the back of the post office. And we're looking at, for all intents and purposes, is a doorway and some stairs going up, a mailbox into a block of flats. Where did you come across that image?
Yes, this is an image from Western Sydney, and it's a 1960s, 1970s block of units, probably owned by the Department of Housing, I would say, and it's a standard international sort of architecture of the time, red brick building that you would walk into, and it's put up and it's full scale, so it does look like you could walk into it. And yeah, it's a little two floor unit not far from where I live, actually.
Were you involved at all in the process of getting agreement from the building owners?
Well, yeah, I don't know all of it. I just know when we came up and we had a look around and we put in an expression of interest on buildings that we'd like to use or paint on or whatever, then the gallery approached the owners of the building and said, this is what we're going to do. Would you like that to happen? Some said no, some said yes. So I had a couple of other sites that I was interested in, but the owners weren't interested. So I've moved around a few times and I've got the perfect spots.
What is it about this one? It looks like it's that particular bit of brickwork has been framed for your artwork.
And it does, actually. This is a beautiful facade. You've got where the windows and the doors used to be, and it's all painted white, and you've got lovely shadows in the afternoon sun, and it's just a beautiful facade. So I'm thrilled to have my work in there.
There are a couple of lintels there that
you wouldn't really notice because they've been painted over and painted white. Yeah. People go and take a closer look at the real parts of their environment now.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so, because if you, you know, you walk past these places and you don't look twice, but some of these are beautiful. Up in, I noticed a lot of the buildings have windows that have been bricked up, so I quite enjoy finding those windows and reinserting windows back into them.
Do you work from memory, or do you take a photograph and, or a couple of photographs and then begin to play with the images?
I take many photographs and then go back and take many more. I work from photography because my drawings take a long time to produce, especially when they're large scale, and I haven't got the advantages of standing outside of somebody's house drawing their window. They might get a bit upset, so I take photographs and I use them. But I also add and subtract from those photographs, so it's not a pure representation of the photographs I've taken. It's what I want to take out of those photographs is what I draw.
As part of its Future City public art program, Orange City Council is employing a number of artists to do all kinds of public art around the CBD. Why do you think, big picture, why do you think that's important to do in an urban area?
Oh, I think it's really important because it reactivates the spaces and it makes them fun, and it's you walk through laneways like Colvin Lane, up behind the Cornwallis Hotel, McNamara Street, and you see lovely murals, bright colours. Just makes your day nice, it makes you smile, and it's a discovery, something new around the corner.
There hasn't been an announcement of where all your images are. Is it going to be surprising for people?
Yes, my images are scattered around. I have 7 works scattered around the place. As I say, some are very small and some are quite large. So I just had a gentleman here that I was talking to who didn't want to know where they were. He wanted to go and discover them himself. So it's a bit of a Where's Wally, I suppose, through the Orange CBD.
How long will they last? Do you have an idea?
Oh, well, these are meant to last for a long time. So we're looking at years, I think, unless they fall off the walls. They are meant to be semi-permanent.
What are they made of?
They're made of an aluminium foil, actually. They hark back to the old street art where people used to put up posters, paper posters with paint glue. But this is a more high-tech surface, and it's actually an aluminium foil. So it's like a great big sticker, I suppose, in some respects. Yeah, well, just a thank you to Orange Council and Orange Regional Gallery for allowing me the opportunity to work with the Orange people and community.
Artist Catherine O'Donnell, and I hope you find some of her surprising artwork in Orange sometime soon. There's lots of discussion in Orange about plans to build a new $25 million sports precinct and parkland alongside Sir Jackrabbin Park. There are still some stages of approval to be sorted before the go-ahead can be given. But while most of the focus has been on the plans for a marquee football stadium on the Forest Road end, there's much less attention on the proposed specialist athletics track on the Huntley Road end of the site. While shovels on the ground are still some time off, that hasn't stopped the kids that might use it, members of the local little athletics club, getting excited about the possibilities for their sport. As well as the kids, the adults involved in Little A's are also keen. One of the state directors of Little Athletics in New South Wales, Michael O'Mara, lives here in Orange, and he's already imagining what could be.
Particularly in Orange, the current Orange Little Athletics Centre has some very talented athletes who have come through over the past years. At the moment, we're very, very affected by COVID, like a lot of us community sports. We've just confirmed through Sport New South Wales and Health New South Wales the competition can commence on the 1st of December. They now started taking registrations in the middle of October or the end of October, early November. But normally we would have registrations before 1st of September to commence competitions on the 1st of September. You know, the expectation in terms of numbers here in Orange is it's a very healthy club, 150 athletes. We're hoping to see that grow, but the hard part is they're only a temporary resident in Waratah facilities. Now, the Waratah facilities up there are terrific in terms of it, but they've got a grass oval, and it's made for playing football on. So it's nice, thick, long grass so that they don't get injured when they get tackled or they fall over and hurt themselves. Whereas runners, they like a nice, smooth, like the cricket players, a nice, good oval like Wade Park. But the kids get around there and enjoy themselves throwing a shot put or doing a distance run. So the interesting thing about the current facilities there is that if you're a young 10-year-old or 11-year-old and you have to run an 800 metres, that's 2 laps of a 400-metre track, you go pretty slow and you get pretty tired, but you don't have a record time. So if you were to go and run on a cut grass track or even do it around Wade Park, nice thin grass, nice and soft, you'd run a better time straight away.
So if someone wants to go further with their sport, how far does a parent have to drive to get top quality facilities for their kids to compete and train on?
Yeah, that's Dubbo. Out there at Dubbo, the facilities are international standard almost. And then they've got a synthetic track. They've got all the throwing equipment in terms of javelin runs. They have a pole vault even, but little athletes don't do pole vault. The senior athletes do the pole vault. But they've got a great grandstand, great facilities for a canteen, for fundraising and feeding all those hungry kids when they're at little athletics. Also two showers and storage of equipment. That's really important. Mm. Whereas at the moment, the athletics facility at Waratah Park, it's shared and it's very limited in terms of their storage capacity and their canteen facility.
It must be difficult for a club having to pack up every week and then share the facilities with football and possibly Aussie rules and rugby union.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too, is as they adjoin the football fields, it's the marking of the track. They have to pay for the marking of the track. It's not a permanent marking. So therefore, the growth of the grass and the facilities, it's quite a fair expense for the club. And Waratahs support them. And certainly the club is very accommodating in that regard, but that's an extra expense they have.
In contrast to shared facilities, if Orange had a dedicated track just for athletics, what sort of, and it was specially purpose-built at the start, what sort of extra facilities would that mean for them?
Oh, look, in terms of, access to power, lights, the ability to roll and roll in and out your equipment. At the moment, they've got a shed over the back for all the jumping equipment, so it all has to be rolled out of another shed on the other side of the field. Other equipment stored in another place in terms of adjoining the field. They'll have everything there ready to roll in and roll out, but also too in shared facilities. We've got to remember that the utilisation of it will be enhanced for senior athletics as well. The senior athletics facility will be better used because at the moment the senior club in a sense is the Orange Running Club. And they currently have got equipment stored, crammed in at Elephant Park and a little shed there too. And, of course, running around Elephant Park to do a 3K run is pretty difficult when you've got, in the middle of winter, you've got almost frost boil, raising up all the paths and it's all boggy and muddy. And then the difficulty is it's a passive almost recreation area with you running around and everyone's walking their dog or pushing a pram. Whereas if you're running at an athletics field, it's purely for the purposes of athletics. You can run in and out on the track. You can run out and warm up, come back and do your track work. In inclement weather, everyone can stand in under and cheer the runners on and get in out of that rain and do it day and night. The other thing too is extending even further is another opportunity is the Orienteering Club, Goal Seekers in Orange. They've got nowhere to store their equipment either. And they also have a situation that they run in the summer events around the streets of Orange or in the parks of Orange. They can very easily do that as having a home there and an athletics track. Large-scale soccer grand finals or regional carnivals, certainly in the winter, the centre of the track will be ideal for the soccer players because it'll be mowed and it'll also bring a greater utilisation of the facilities.
Building athletics tracks these days come with all sorts of extra technology under the ground that make it happen better. What sort of stuff could we expect there?
There's two other opportunities. To have live streaming facility built into it. And once you have that, you have a good facility there. And it's interesting, talking to one of the media people at the recent launch of the track, they're very interested in terms of that live streaming because that facility will be great for them to have access to film various things, but also to grandma who lives in Wagga, or auntie and uncle live in Coffs Harbour or Tweed Heads or even in Queensland or in Tasmania. They can, actual fact, look into this live streaming and actually watch the event. The other thing, too, is that we'll have a finish line that you could have photo finish so that a fixed camera can, actual fact, just like the Olympics, you can go and take the readings, record it, and you can, actual fact, decide if there was a very, very close finish, particularly in sprints, the 100-metre sprint. It can take a photo and that photo can be fed back and judges can look at it and define who's the winner. The other step in it is if you're doing a long distance event, 3,000 metres or longer, you can have wires under the track at the finish that are like a portable chip reader system like you get at fun runs these days. Most people go on a fun run, they get a bib on, and that chip is activated by a signal up to it and it's sent back and transmitted back. Whereas if we have that embedded in the track, it'll won't be a trip hazard, and every athlete will get a split for every 400 metre they run around.
It sounds like there's a fair bit of excitement, even though this new field in Orange is still some time away. You're getting excited about it already, and the local kids are as well.
Oh, yeah, look, the one thing is they've had their first meeting of the technical committee to advise the council on the engineering of it, and I was fortunate to be invited to be part of that in representing Little Athletics. But we've had people, two very qualified Athletics New South Wales technical officials, the CEO of Athletics New South Wales, and the CEO of Little Athletics New South Wales involved, plus the Regional Development Officer for this area. And all of their expertise in terms of the future plan is to take the best ideas. Let's go and look at the other tracks that are now and ask the people, what would you do to make it even better now in terms of practical terms, of just little things that will improve the facility and the use of the grounds?
It's still some time away. Some approvals are still going to happen. When do you think it's going to get finished?
Yeah, when the I think around the year 2023, because there certainly is that there's a real keenness to say, right, they're starting to do structural work and civil works in terms of soil and sand and moving things around and drainage. There's a lot of work goes underground before you see above the ground. And particularly with an athletics track, if it's a synthetic track, people don't realise that there's about a metre of hard, like, recycled rubber to make a track before you see the top. So during the course of 2023, we look forward to having our opening ceremony and our first carnival there to invite everyone to come and have a run on our track.
One of the state directors of Little Athletics, Michael Armara. And that's the show for this week. Thanks for joining in. As always, you can download this and other episodes on the Orange City Council website, or do the subscribe and follow thing from wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, for the Orange Podcast, this is Alan Reader. Bye for now.